This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. It's easy to get started. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Now batting number one in our hearts. At least he'd like to think so. It's the Jim Day Podcast.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. Jim Day Podcast. And man, this dude sitting across from me, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to talk about characters in the history of Reds baseball, not only one of the top performers ever, but one of the great characters, Randy Myers. It is so good to see you. How you doing?
Well, Mr. Day, you know, all that good talk, that $20 bill went a long ways, and thank you very much for the intro.
No, it very much deserved. What fans would love to know, what are you up to now?
About the same as I have been for a long time. I mean, I'm living out in Washington. I've been doing some water tenders, a little bit for fire lines and things. Yeah. I have people I know go out and then kind of keep an eye on their ranches and stuff while they're running their equipment and doing some conservation projects and charity stuff. And, you know, was where I'm at, really don't get cell service. And I got an email that said, you know, can you come to this? And then they said there's going to be a softball game. And Marty's going, I go, first of all, ask Marty if he wants me.
Oh, come on.
And they said,
are you kidding me?
The email was from 3 weeks ago. I go, I just got it. I just come back and sell. So
you're out of cell service for that long?
Yeah, well, yeah, because we're,
see, this does not surprise me about the legend of Randy Myers.
No, I mean, it's out in the Northwest. I mean, it's like, honestly, I don't see my computer. Unless someone says something's on there, it might be a week. But, you know, it's like people are saying good or bad. Like, I carry my cell phone, and I always have it on the ring. They go, how many people call you? I go, maybe three. But if it's ringing, it's important. Most people, you know, some people, they're calling for getting groceries and stuff. How you been doing?
I've been great, man.
They're just winning.
Living the dream. They're winning. Reds are winning. Yeah, living the dream. Just, I can't believe they still put this ugly mug on TV and they pay me to do it. It's
Well, when you're at the you say ugly. When you're like a 10 and a half and you get down to 10 and a quarter, you know, it's still in the top.
How nice is it? I know you guys had a get-together last night, even though you live out in the wilderness now. How nice is it to see some old faces and some old friends, old teammates?
You know, it's one of the things that's, you know, you when you see each other, you're part of a team, something that's championship, whether, you know, Little League or high school. I mean, how about Hamilton, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and the Little League.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's Hamilton.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is but when you win something, you have a bond there that you're the only one that year.
Yeah.
Or maybe that century or decade, depending on what it is,
right,
that have won. That the goal of most people starting is that.
Yeah.
And so you have a lifetime bond that people have never done that. Now, if you have a group together and you don't win, but it's further than anyone else has ever done, that's still a bond.
Oh, yeah.
It's
no
still
doubt.
Winning, per se. So
yeah.
It was pretty good. I was told I have to get Larkin's team loaded and Johnny's team can't drink till after tonight's game. Johnny's taking this serious.
He takes everything serious. Oh. No, that's beautiful. The 1990 team around here, you guys are so revered, not only because you went wire to wire and you won a world championship, obviously, but it's the characters that were on that team, and it's the fun that you guys had and the closeness. I had Barry Larkin and Jose Rijo on this podcast, and they were
My condolences.
No, but they were talking together, and it was so genuine. They were talking about the love you guys had for each other, and it was 25 guys, and they said, yeah, we weren't the most talented team, which you guys are very, very talented, but it was one goal, one mission. Do you feel that way, that it was a cohesive group, that that's what led you guys to the championship?
Well, I think we were a bunch of groups within a group that came together. I mean, we were, I was new.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, you know, why did, like I was talking earlier, they said, you know, Norman Dibbs, why'd you pitch last? We'll let the new kid. make him go last, you know. And then, like, Marty, I was doing an interview, and they were saying, you know, Marty ever get on you? I go, yeah, but it's no biggie. They go, oh, let the new kid get him. He doesn't know Marty. But you're groups within groups, but if you actually look at it, 90, there was no career years.
Right.
Yeah. Normally, team that wins, oh, career year. We were all just playing. I mean, Lark, like, Mr. Larkin, you know, Hall of Famer, Reds Hall of Famer, you know. But it's like, I actually asked him last year, I go, or 2 years ago, I go, Lark, you're in the Hall, right? Because I knew he is, but I don't see him as that.
Yeah.
You know, like ED, Eric should be in there too. I mean, if you look at it. But it's, you just look at it as a team. And, you know, and like he was talking about, we were talking the other day, and it was like, you know, you have if confidence both ways. If you know the pitching is going to help you, you don't have to score as much, so you're looser. If you know the guys are going to score runs, you know, you're better. I mean, one of the biggest things where I've talked to people about analytics, and I say, well, analytics is what you look at. Tell me how many look right teams over 500 and under 500. But if you have a one-run lead in the fifth inning and you make it a two-run lead, how many games do you win?
Yeah.
Well, for us, we went from 2 to 4 and 5 in a hurry. We didn't get a lot of save opportunities. Because the guys knew all of a sudden everyone had to play in.
Right.
And it was just so it steamrolled. So the hitters are better and the things. But everyone, if you ask anyone, I'm sure if you had asked Hosier, and maybe you did, and Lark, did you give some of yourself for the team? Well, absolutely. But we all dedicate ourselves to the team. Yeah. So when people said, oh, people were doing this and people were doing that, no one ever took away from game day first.
Right. Yeah, no, that's great.
That I know of.
Yeah, that you know of. Now, you, the stories that surround you and the Nasty Boys are legendary, and particularly you. I mean, you're bringing grenades into the clubhouse.
Hypothetically.
Now, let's this many years later, were they live grenades?
I was, some people like to do things for media and say things, and I will never disclose.
All right, well, let the legend live. That's good. I love that answer. I love that answer. But they never, your teammates said, we never knew what to expect from Randy, and we're not sure if he's all there. And they meant it in a good way, in a complimentary way.
That's what mom and dad said. No, the thing about it is I came from the Mets.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, okay, what is he? Well, you know, but we had a great team there. I mean, we won the World Series in 86. And we could have, if you would have had wild card, I mean, we'd have been there, you know, 5 years in a row.
Right.
But even in New York, people just treat you like normal. I mean, you had different groups of people, but you're just, you go out and it's, people right. didn't bother you or nothing. So I come over here and it's like, I'm just Randy. And, but I knew, I mean, I'm replacing, in a sense, Johnny Franco.
Yeah.
I mean, Hall of Famer.
Right.
I mean, and Johnny went home. And it was, you know, some people say, well, it wasn't a money grab. My, you know, Johnny was making more. But I mean, if I'm the Mets, I can pick Johnny up or I got Randy. I pick Johnny any day of the week. So, and Kip Gross, who I was traded with, actually said Kip Gross was Johnny and I was a throw-in. That's what Kip says. But you're taking in, so I'm coming over here and with the lockout and really didn't, you know, play against these guys. And you got to remember, in 89, we had the brawl with the Reds.
Right.
When Juan tried to kick, and I had Norm huddled, locked up, and Norm, or Juan kicked, and I threw my arm up and he cut me, and I let Norm loose. I go, kick his rear end, derriere. But I said, because, you know, you're kicking. And we got Juan traded when we traded Jess or Roger to Philly. But it was like, yeah, you don't play that game. And so I'm over, and we just had the brawl because Dib slipped. That's when he tried to throw that that little spitter and actually hit tough in 89. So, you know,
it was like, accidental.
Yeah, it was. I think he slipped. But that was actually back in the days when there was brawls. So that was a pretty good one.
There were good brawls back then. Yeah.
But it was just so I'm over and it's, you know, locked down. It was like, what's your role? I don't know. They got Dibs and Norm and me. And Norm Dibsville said, hey, look, we're going to, you know, we might be closing. We're going to set you up. And they both said, we'll take care of all the crap. We can't have you do it because we lose you and that splits us up.
Right.
It was just, okay, and then Lou coming in as a new manager, which kind of helped because, you know, he can say, well, Randy's, you know, closing. In fact, I think we're the only team ever, the first-year manager and a closer with over 30 saves won the World Series.
Really?
First year.
Wow.
Yeah. So them are things that, as a bullpen, you know, and starting on spring training, and Dib and Norm were throwing, and it's like, I look at them, I go, gee. Can I be a long man? Them guys are dealing. And plus, they were all together. I mean, room together and everything. So it was like, and then it was just, you know, the first game of the year. I tell people, you know, we're in Houston and we're up 1-0 in the fifth. And I think it was Browning was on. Guy on first. They bunt him to second with a 1-0 game. Gets to third on a fly ball and out. And then Norm comes in, I think, struck five out, dibs three and me one, and then they jump my jump my rear end for killing the strikeout to inning ratio. First of the year. Because that was when we started on the road.
Yeah, you started on the road.
Came back here. Yeah. So it was just like, and that's when, you know, they said, because Davis got hit three times. Right. And it was like, well, they're going to start doing it. You know, they want to, you know, beanball Warren, you know, Norm, you know. Well, look, 99, 98, 97, they want to go. It's time to go.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a great story out there. This is one of my favorite.
Probably a story.
No, I think this was true because this has been verified by several people about you had a taser or a stun gun and you, Lupinella came around the corner and you used it on Lou and knocked him on his butt. Did you not?
It was only a 220,000 volt stun gun, and it wasn't a taser that shoots it. And so what happens is you can hit that, and you'd hit him on the legs, and you could drop people. So I'm doing it with me and the Bat Boys, and they would set up other Bat Boys, but because I can, for me, just putting on legs, not a big deal. I mean, it just doesn't affect me. Comes over, that doesn't hurt anyone. He goes, no. Nah. He goes, well, go ahead. So I hit him on the leg and held for like 2 seconds. Well, he buckled and dropped, and he couldn't get up because his hamstring had spasmed. Although the rest of that story was, so it was just like second inning, and he was sitting where he sits on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, watching TV, and the guys come in laughing. Well, there was a bad play, and Lou got up to argue, but what happened when he got up, because he hadn't moved in 2 innings, his hamstring locked up, he fell, got back up, and he goes, never mind.
He said, never mind.
Yeah, I didn't go out to argue, because he was sitting there, he didn't move, and then what he did is heavy locked back up. So.
Well, they said he was questioning whether that thing was real or not.
Yeah, he said, oh, that won't, because I'm doing it on me, and you could hear it sparking. Yeah. He goes, well, here, he goes, give it to me. So I let him up a little bit. It was all in fun, though.
I know, but you might be the only one. There were people that were scared to death of him.
Who?
Lou.
No one was scared of him.
Come on.
No, now a lot of stuff happened after my watch. It happened on 92 and on.
Yeah.
You know, there's you have to have a little bit of control, try to, you know when to rein certain
people. But you
people.
Still, you stun gunned the manager.
Yeah, but he was, he's thinking it doesn't bother you. No problem. I can honestly say something.
When
guys were talking around my locker, because I had the first locker where they came out and on the left side and out of his monitor office, and then you'd make a right to go down to the field.
Yeah.
And after that, anyone that was talking and they said, hey, Lou, what do you think? He goes, I don't even want to know. Kept walking. We could be passing out candy bars. And I don't want to know.
And I've interviewed him. He said he just kind of let you guys be you. And the less he knew about it, the better. All he cared about was you guys being ready to pitch. And that had to be great to be a player under Lou.
Well, that's the thing about it is what do you want? Okay. What am I going to have these guys do that is going to make them be more prepared to pitch? Let me think. Yeah. You didn't have to worry about it. I mean, think about this. Okay, Barry, we need you to get a little better. Eric, get that extra 10 minutes. The guys knew what they needed.
Yeah.
But you start on the field. So that's where I talk with people about training. Okay, you want to be a pitcher. Start on the mound and backtrack from there of where you need, not start out here and try to get to the mound.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. The Nasty Boys, who came up with the Nasty Boys, by the way? Where'd that come from?
Well, that was what Norm says, and I thought it was earlier, but that's where he said with that hitting. Yeah. You know, you guys want to get in beanball wars? Them are nasty speeds.
Yeah.
And so then it became that. So I think that's what really hit the
And it took on a life of its own. I mean, you guys were a caricature amongst yourselves. I mean, it was the 1990 teams, and it was the Nasty Boys. Or some people even, heck, they did a documentary called it The Nasty Boys about the 1990 team. So it was bigger than life at that moment.
Well, it was, to this day, arguably the best bullpen ever assembled.
Yeah.
There's people that are trying, but if you actually look at the stats. Now, remember, Norm started the second half.
Yeah.
So if you take them out, we averaged, I think, 13 strikeouts by all three. And then if you have to look at where's everyone after that, 5 years after, who closed, who did everything. I mean, we were just a dominant team. And the thing is, what people don't look at is that, I mean, it comes in. I think it was Norman Dibbs more than me. I mean, you can find closers. You know, you can find someone to finish a game.
Right.
I did a little different. I mean, I would just sit and paint the outside corner, you know, the hardest, I think, hit. But with Norman Dibbs coming in, tell me another seventh and eighth inning matchup.
Oh.
I mean, where do you find it?
And lefty-righty.
Yeah, I mean, even – and Norm could go, too. I mean, Norm Charlton, and people don't see it, go, watch tape. He would tell the hitter and the catcher what's coming. Fork and fastball. Go get them. And you know, young people, oh, he's tricking you. No, he's telling you. Try to hit it.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 98-mile-an-hour forkball. Okay.
Oh, nasty. Just, I mean,
I mean, we used to be in the pen, and our backup catcher, I mean, we had Reedy, but then we had Jose Q.
Yeah.
And so Q took in Quiñones, but I'll call him Q, Jose. But them guys would throw, Norman Dibbs would start dropping that crap on him. And it was just to beat him up. And he's down there conyoing the whole world.
You guys still, I mean, you get together for whatever, signings, or they still get you together. You, Norman, and Dibbs. Is it like you just pick up where you left off?
Well, we didn't. See, I was talking earlier over, they had a radio interview over at Holy Grail.
Yeah.
We, after 92, the first time, or 93. The first time we were together was 2015.
Really?
Because everyone was on different teams.
Yeah. Wow. So the first time you guys got together was 2015.
And
that's
so
unbelievable.
And that's where, like, when we do these signings, we've a lot of it, most of it goes to charity. We've done over, I think, 160,000 on to charity.
Wow.
Different programs.
All of them go to charity? I did not know.
No, not all of it, but about 160,000.
That is great.
I mean, almost all of it does.
Oh, that's great.
But,
that's good stuff.
So that was the first time. People don't realize, well, we got together. No, we're talking over 20 years.
Yeah.
Because in 92, when I was in San Diego, when you guys came out there, you know, Dib and Norm were still together. But 93, it was.
Yeah.
And so it was, we're all. Different areas. So you'd see each other. I think it's more also when you're playing is, you know, later on, then it's different. I mean, we were talking about the 99 team last night. Yeah. I said Lark was in trouble because it's like you pop a cork when the team can't do it, like Miami.
Yeah.
You know, but I said, we never did that. I go, Lark is trying to get another, you know, World Series. And that's when people think, well, do you want another team to get it? Yeah, you don't want to be the only one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like – it's like the people, hey, I'm the best. Well, yeah, you were at the time, but let people, you know, beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be, maybe some people don't want the Reds to win another World Series. I think it'd be a great thing for the city.
Are you kidding me? There's a ton of people. It'd be fantastic.
Some of the people in Vegas might not agree with you.
Well, heck with those people in Vegas. Screw those people. I don't really care about me. No. You're on the mound for the last out. When you look back at that, just being – having that distinction of being the closer, and then you close down a World Series, man. What was it like?
It was just trying to get the guys out. I mean, if you actually look at after the last out, guys are coming and jumping, and I'm going and shaking everyone's hand, and the last hand I shake was our center fielder, Winnie.
Yeah.
And he, because remember, we lost Hatch and ED.
Yeah.
Everyone was what? I go, for me, it's, you know, as a closer, you're looking at a peak, just like an edge of a piece of paper, and it's two-sided. Physically and mental, you can't go over one way or another. So when I got the last out, to me it was just another last out.
Right.
Now, you know, half hour later, okay, you unwind and you process, but it doesn't change. It's not like if I'm on the bench and let's say someone gets a home run. Let's say like when Joe Oliver got the base hit and we win, I'm on the bench hoping he does it.
Yeah.
When you're the person doing it, it's like, in our case, you're expected to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of them things is looking back, if I'd have choked the chicken, is how do we, I mean, we lose ED and Hatch.
Yeah.
There was We could have still done it.
There was a sense of urgency losing Hatch and losing ED, even though you guys were up 3-0.
But I think it's more with the fans, because who are the two people that took in, you know, helped manufacture the runs? The two guys that replaced ED and Hatch.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You know, if Bregsy doesn't take out the double play.
Yeah.
You know, and then we get the sack fly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're playing. And would it have killed us? No. I mean, honestly, if you talk to the guys, do you think the Pirates were more of a threat, or do you think Oakland? And I and most people that I talked to on the team firmly believe whoever beat between us and Pittsburgh were beating Oakland, because did their power, with their leadoff hitter, you know, Ricky and stuff like that, but we manufactured runs.
Yeah. No, and the Pirates were a great team.
I think Pirates were, they could have used a little more help in the setup role.
Yeah.
You know, and also our setup role was we played five and gone.
Right.
I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, in a close game, all, you know, some of our starting pitchers, for some reason, wind blown out in Wrigley, it was weird. Dibs, Norman Isle had sore arms. Burgess was the closer. Go get him, Bird. Liotta, go get him.
I love that.
They get 5 minutes in a leave. Our starters were bailing. They had parachutes that were parasailing.
Oh,
they're out of there.
I truly love that. It's beautiful. Yeah, wind blowing out in Wrigley. It's just not good whatsoever. Randall Kirk Myers. What a different cat. Man, was he good. And like he said, he was looking to paint the outside corner. And he was so good. I mean, against right-handers, he would just, oh my gosh. Usually the breaking ball, you know, into a right-hander can be trouble. As he's a left-handed pitcher. But he would paint that outside corner against lefties and righties. Didn't matter, but just beautiful. And we'll get back to the conversation that I had with the Reds closer from the 1990 World Series championship season after this message from Western and Southern Financial Group.
Life can throw a lot at us, but through all the ups and downs, your financial future will be ever gentle on your mind with Western and Southern. From life insurance to investments, our one-on-one guidance is customized for your needs today and in the future. Western and Southern, life insurance, retirement, and investments. Visit westernsouthern.com/restassured to get started today.
Ever smiling, never gentle on my mind.
Products issued by member companies of Western and Southern Financial Group, Cincinnati, Ohio.
But it was so fun to watch that season. And you know, if the starter, if you guys got into the sixth or seventh inning with the lead, it's done. I mean, most times it's done. It's just lock it down. It's Norm, it's Dibs, it's you, or whatever order they decided to go in that day.
And the guys knew it, so they were adding runs manufacturing. I mean, how many times, if you actually look back, how many times, you know, guy on third base, first and third with no outs, they were playing at home.
Right.
Got to stop the run, you know. Now it's a three-run lead, and all of a sudden a base hit goes through.
Yeah.
You know, you manufacture it. Adding runs allows the starting pitcher or the pitcher not to have to pitch every pitch perfect.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of hitters, you know, you can go even today, I say, manufacture a run. I said, think about this, and the analytics, people say analytics. I said, well, there's always analytics. What do you look at? I go, every analytic person, I said, PPO factor. PPO. Are you looking at? What's that? Piss the pitcher off. Oh, think about it. Guy drops a bunt on Dibs and a safe. Next guy drops a bunt on Dibs and safe. You can look analytics all you want. That next guy, Dibs might slip.
DeCenzo?
Huh? Dibs might slip. I remember, I think that was OA after, or AR after Randy, I think, was a DeCenzo one.
Yeah.
Or it might still been around there. But I'm just saying is, when you manufacture a run, you aren't calculating that in, that pitcher. Yeah. Oh, you're getting an earned run because they got a shift on.
Right.
I mean, think about this. When I was in 92, played with Tony Gwynn. Okay, we're going to put a shift on Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
Now, he was the 5-5 hole between, you know, third and – think about this. Here's the announcer. And today we're looking at maybe Tony might get his 460th hit of the game, and we just started October. they're still playing that heavy shift. Oh, gee. I mean, think about our team. Hey, Lark. We're going to put a shift on you. Okay, I'll just bunt it over there.
Absolutely.
I'll hit it over to right.
Yeah, no
thanks
doubt.
For the hit.
Yeah.
Think about RBIs. I mean, that's one thing about, you know, I look today and say, our guys, they give you a base. You would take it. Okay, I'm telling the hitter behind me, hit a double, I'm scoring.
Yeah.
People don't look at that way. That's how I look at it.
Right.
I look at, we're going to get another run, so you as a pitcher, deal. Don't worry about every pitch. And then all of a sudden, it blows open. You know, Lou Piniella used to say, he said, I'll take a 280 hitter on a championship team over a 300 hitter going home on October 1.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I mean, a 300 hitter, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there, you know, that Mendoza line, I think the name has changed to protect the innocent.
You're right.
The thing about it is you're a world-renowned broadcaster. And
wait, did you just say I'm a world-renowned?
World-renowned. People on these podcasts
Hold
listen.
Hold on, let me give you this 20 back. I am not world-renowned
people,
in anything.
No, people now with our fans, you know, in the military. And
yeah,
fans
no, there's
and,
no doubt
And people
it.
Travel in different countries. And
yeah.
And the thing about it is, but you're still a fan.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about it as a fan. Yeah, and okay. So me is, you know, we really didn't have any teams. And later on we had the Mariners, but they're 3 hours north.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, you know, baseball was a job. And I think a lot of people now, I mean, we had guys in different teams get called up. I mean, the big leagues, well, how long do you want to stay here? You know, it's right. Like, think about, and closing is a whole different ballgame. It's the only position in the game where they're grooming potential replacement, and he's getting enough work to where they can choose.
Yeah.
A setup guy a lot of times goes to closer. Well, setup guy is pitching equal, if not as many innings and stuff.
Right.
Think about your backup first baseman, your backup shortstop, or your backup wherever. I mean, think about the guy, Cal Ripken, when I played in Baltimore. His backup, he had 10 years in the big league. Go get him, Cal. I mean, no, you're going to get a day off.
Yeah.
He has a 10-year vet. Didn't get off the bench.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was – so they're grooming that instead of adding.
Yeah.
That was the thing is to adding. It's like in 91 at the end of the year because 90 we won. 91 we lost our starters. I went to starting second half, you know, trying to – because I was just sitting down there, you know, we're doing nothing.
Right.
And I said in the offseason, I said, sign Norm for $10 million for 3 years – or 4 years. Sign Dibbs $10 million for four and sign me for 12. So that's – we're losing, you know, I think it was 7.5 out of the pen. And I go, well, we need other guys. We don't care who you bring in, but lock us in. Well, they didn't, and that's fine. Later on, you know, we should have. But that what did after that was Hart, Cleveland. He locked all them guys into 4 or 5 year contracts.
Oh, yeah.
I got 4 or 5 of them guys. Other people want to play there because they know you got a good nucleus.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about the Marlins. And, you know, the Marlins, they played – for a championship than this man. Well, they got 2 World Series.
Right. Yeah.
No but to build, you got to build. And it's, you know, like I've talked to minor league guys. You know, you can be a 240 all you want player in the minors. If you're hitting 300, you know, and early in the year, you know, every 25 at bats, if you get a bunt for a base hit, that's 40 points on your average at 100.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a lot to swing that. And the other thing is you're picking a ball later. I mean, I was talking to, I'm not going to mention what one of the players, but. You guys would know if I mentioned his name, but he was saying that, think about this, if a pitcher hit in front of the, if he pitched in front of the mound 1 foot, would you say he's cheating as a hitter? Well, yeah. Then why are you hitting a ball at the front of the plate when you can hit it behind the plate and you've just changed going to opposite field
right.
With more, it's slowed down and then we actually don't have to get out in front.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that, but you look at our team, you look at a lot of good hitters. If you put it, everyone hit it where? I mean, how many guys right now, a guy on third or second, they move him to third with the hit to right field? Doesn't happen much.
Not much. No, and I've never seen anyone as good as Barry Larkin did that. He gave himself up so many times. I mean, he could have hit for much higher average.
Well, Lark did that, and then who goes after that? Next one, Hatchett's over there.
Hatchett's
and
over
then who? I mean, Sabet's over there.
Yeah.
It's like, what do they start? And then they do a shift.
No, there's
then,
no doubt you guys were all about team. That's why you won it. And you had good leadership from Lou. I mean, do you have favorite Lou stories? Do you have ones that
– I mean, you know, a lot of people bring up the stun gun one because he's out there, you know, and Norm says he's flopping like a fish in the dugout. But, I mean, I think the
– I still can't believe you stun gunned the manager. But
No. He wanted it.
I know, he did. Which is, you know, you guys have –
I choose to agree to his what he wanted to choose. I think the base toss. I think that was 90, wasn't it? When Lou went out there and won the
best.
The
yeah, I mean that was awesome.
And people think, oh yeah, it was no. He actually was mad.
Yeah,
and won the base.
He called that a teaching moment. Is what he told Barry Larkin that was a teaching moment, calculated teaching moment.
Well, later on, you know, and I can say it now because it's true. But he said that's a long wait a second now. And he's like, later on, you know, hey, guys, you know, let me know if it's closer to, you know, first or third on our side of the.
Who is the craziest between you, Dibbs, and Charlton?
Oh, I'm not even close on that.
I mean, Norm's Norm. I mean, 3 degrees in 4 years.
That's a smart dude
Rice.
Right there.
Dibbs wasn't really crazy, except when he decided he was going to when Dibbs time to go, he went. I mean, Dibbs really didn't have the off switch. And his on switch, it took a long time, but that off switch wasn't. But Norm, I think, was the one that everything he did was accelerated calculations. I said he knew.
Accelerated calculations.
He knew what he could do. I love that. And it was going to happen. And it was, you know. But, I mean, really, you know, like they were saying, you know, like Marty's story. And it was like, well, anything, Marty go, no, really. I mean, and they said, because the next day he was around, you know, did he ever poke you or anything? I go, you go wire to wire. I mean, what'd he say? I think, and I was thinking we won 8 games in a row, and the first one to say, oh, Randy sucked, we're 8-1. I mean, you know, hey, you know, we were 10 games up and he had that bad game. Now we're only 9, damn it. I mean,
yeah, he couldn't light you up like other teams. You were never out of first place.
Well, I mean, it's my thing is, you know, just be honest.
Yeah.
You know, you had a bad game? Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Now you have to say, I was not to the pitching to the level of efficiency that I felt I could.
Oh, you can say sucked on this podcast.
But, I mean, it's just one of the things where, you know, and I say that, you know, difference. I said big thing like an over 500 team and an under 500 is, big team is this. You're over 500, closer gives a couple runs, a tie game. Yeah. They jump your ass. Okay, we're going to have to cover you.
Yeah.
Under 500, here we go again.
Right.
I mean, here's one thing that it's kind of like one of them. You know, everyone has a little pet peeve. Mine is, can you say arse? A-S-S?
Yes.
Is don't be 20 games under 500. Get a base hit and look like a jackass out there because don't you expect to get the hit? I mean, jumping up and down. I mean, even pitchers, yeah, gotcha. Why didn't you do this 2 months ago? I mean, my thing that I learned, and I try to learn positive things. I learn negative, too, not to do it. But my thing, one of my sayings is celebrate every accomplishment in direct proportion to effort involved.
Interesting.
Some people, and I've done things with special needs kids and stuff like that, and some of them make contact. Oh, my God, you send them celebrate. Oh. You know, their first hit, their first, you know, somebody who gets a D and they've always had Fs. Yeah. That's a great accomplishment. But don't you expect yourself to get a hit?
Yeah.
I didn't go out there when they come out meeting. So what do you think? Oh, I hope I get them out. No, I expect it. I trained myself to excel. But I think people, you know, it's the excitement of the game. You're killing your fans. You're killing your sponsors. You're killing the team. And you're 10 games under 500. Where it's one thing if you're over and you celebrate, but did you expect not to get it? You know, my thinking is if a guy got a base hit and they go out and celebrate, they're thinking, whew. I mean, normally he's only, you know, 20 out of 100. He got one. No.
Right.
When you expect it, and I think that's the thing about winning teams outbreeds winning.
Yeah.
We expect it.
Yeah.
You know, think about, you know, people and even, you know, like when the two-run homer, ED got, you know, in the first inning of the World Series. Everyone was just like, good job. You know, did we expect a home run there? Were we surprised? No. I mean,
baseball world was surprised because they gave you guys no shot. Yeah.
Hatch got on. Oh, gee. Hell, we expect you to get on.
Yeah.
I mean, Lark got a base hit. Ooh, no, we didn't expect that. No, I mean, but you expect it. And then you expect to win. You expect to move the guy over. Tell me how many guys on third base with less than two outs did not score?
Rarely with you guys.
And nowadays, I mean,
yeah,
it's like it seems like people are celebrating things that you expect it. You do what it takes. I mean, I believe in 90, it was second and third with no outs. They bunted, and we were down by one, bunted the tie, and it was first and third and bunted with one out. They played for double play, bunted the go-ahead run, and I went to second, and then a base hit scored, so we ended up with three. Second, third, no outs, two bunts, and one was for an out, and one was for a base hit.
Yeah.
And so it was – or no, they were both outs, but, you know, they moved the run.
Yeah.
But it was like
you rarely see that now.
And to me, that if they're going to give it to you, okay.
You know, yeah. Let's tie the game. Let's go ahead. Yeah. You know, go get them, Norm.
Oh, that's beautiful. See, I love looking back on this. I know you got a time crunch, so I got to turn you loose.
It's
here.
Called food.
It's called food because you got a big softball game here tonight. You're not going to you pitching in this thing?
Nah, Johnny said I am catching because it's close to home. I've been in a long time. So I think TB's doing it, and he said he just did a celebrity game or something, charity thing, and gave him like 9 homers. I go, we're not going to call that pitch. Slow pitch. Come on, baby. Strike him out.
It is great to see you. I love the times that I've seen you out in spring training, the few times I have, and we've been able to talk then. I just love it. It's tremendous. You're one of the great characters of the game, and you're so smart. People think, oh, man, he's crazy, but underneath there, you're a very, very intelligent guy.
Well, I appreciate the smart. There's a lot of hyphens after that, and Alec is one of the best ones.
But you stun-gunned Lou Piniella, legend.
I allowed Lou. He had a wish, and I make a wish. I granted his wish.
He fulfilled the wish of Lou Piniella, and God love him for that.
But, yeah, but, I mean, the rest of the story, you know, like Norm said, flopping like a fish out there when he tried to go.
That's great. Great seeing you, man. I appreciate the time.
Actually, it is. Great seeing you. Yeah. And, you know, hey, get us up. You're going to go strap them on and go get them.
Good luck to you, man.
I hope to see
you soon enough.
Thanks for having me.
That is Randy Byers, everyone. Thanks for joining us here for the Jim Day Podcast. It's been a treat. And until next time, we'll see you on down the road.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.